Kuf Chav Beis. So let's take it five lines down. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. He says, Hitir Lehem Rabbi Chanina LeBeis Rabbi. So Rabbi Abba permitted Rabbi Chanina in Beis Rabbi Lishos Yain B'Kronos Shanachui, to drink wine even in the Kronos of Anachui, the wagons of Anachui, even though they were being served by the Goyim and be concerned of Yain Nesach, it was allowed. B'chosim echad, as long as there's one chosim, one sign, one seal on it. Lo yadana, wasn't sure why, if it's because imishum de savrala k'Rabbi Eliezer, or imishum emasa de benasir. It wasn't clear why he permitted you to have wine with just one chosim. Normally the din is, when it comes to yai nesach, you could only eat it if there are two seals, shnei chosmos. So why do you allow for one chosim? So the Gemara says, Rashi explains, either because two lines down, Imishum de Savar Rabbi Eliezer Damar Masechas of Odazar Yain Mutter Bechosim Echad. Rabbi Eliezer is one sheet that you don't need two seals. It's just enough to have one seal. So either he paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, or no, he really paskin in general, you need two chosmos, you need two seals. But here was different, as Rashi explains. Imishum Emasa de Beinasiya Shahaya Nahui Hamivia Yari Minanasi. Because the Nahui who was bringing the wine was scared of the Nasi who was here, Rabbi Chanina. And Shaya Shalat al Pia Malchus, he was placed in charge by the government. We're just bringing the sugya because of previous statements, but because, again, perhaps it's a heter of Rabbi Chanina, because he was in a position of authority, and therefore the goyim would be scared to serve him anything that would be trey for a yai nesach. So that ends the Gemara. So Gemara now says, Masnizim, we're continuing. Yesterday's daf spoke about Amir al-Akam. Amir al-Akam has two elements to it. Whenever you get asked the question or you're wondering the question about Amir al-Akam, there are two steps. One is giving them a command, the tzivoy, and number two is benefiting, getting hana from that which they do. So you can't tell a goy to do something for you. You can't tell them to turn on the light, to cook food. You can't tell them to do malacha. And hinting is problematic also. There are certain ways how to avoid it. If a person says, you know, it's dark in here, that's not a command. You're just stating a situation. So then that's not a command. Today's mission, we're going to learn, in addition to not commanding them to do something, you also can benefit from that which they do. So let's say, for example, if it's dark in here, I don't command them, but they turn on the light, I can benefit from them turning on the light. That would be hana. An example of something that you can benefit from them, let's say it's light in here, I want to go to sleep, and they turn off the light, I can benefit from the lights being off. No light is not called hana. It's just the removal of hana. Putting lights on is hana. Putting lights off is just taking away hana. So taking away hana is fine. But adding hana, that would be problematic. And there are many, many different examples of this. So that's today's Mishnah talking about getting hana from that which they do, even if you don't command them. So the Mishnah says, Nachwi shehidlik es haner, if a goy lights a candle, mishtamish l'oro Yisrael. Yisrael is able to benefit from the candle. The understanding here is that he lit it for himself. So he lit it for himself. It didn't do it for you. So then you're allowed to get hana. However, vim bishvi Yisrael, if he lit it in particular for a Jew, then also then one may not benefit from it. The understanding is that we're concerned if you benefit from his malacha, next time you'll tell him to do malacha for you. So if it was done directly for you, you can't get hana. If it was done for himself or for another goy, then one would be able to benefit from it. It says the Mishnah further, mila mayim lashkos behemto, if he draws up some water for his animal to drink. It's a situation, Rashi says, where it's a borba shisharabim, so there's a violation of Otsah here. So if he gives it the water for his animals, so then mashka achar of Yisrael, then Yid is allowed to use the water afterwards. Vim bishvi Yisrael, if he brought the water particularly for specifically for a Jew, then also then one may not. So take a look at, actually we'll wait on the Rashi in just a second. And then the Mishnah gives a third example. So we first spoke about putting the candle on, turning the candle on. Number two is filling up water from Rishis Rabim. And the third scenario is a Nachri, Asa Nachri Kevesh. If a Nachri makes a ramp, Leirid Bo, to go down, Yorid Acharav Yisrael. Yisrael is allowed to use that same ramp. But in Bishvi Yisrael, if he built the ramp specifically for a Yid, then Asa, one's not allowed to. So after giving those three examples of lighting the candle and drawing the water and building the ramp, the Mishnah finishes off with a Maisa, strange, unclear what the Maisa is here. But it says, Maisa b'Rabbi Gamliel, who's a Canaan, Shehayu ban b'sfina, v'asa nachwi kevesh leirid bo, v'yardu bo, Rabbi Gamliel v'za Canaan. So the Maisa was that Rabbi Gamliel was on a boat, a guy built the ramp, and he went down the boat, along, went down the ramp along with his with other Zakanim as well. So unclear what that Maisa is trying to accomplish here, but according to some Rishonim, they say that the Maisa is just trying to prove that there's a Lach LaMaisa. That's how we paskin, that's how something. It's a Lach LaMaisa, we see. Others say that no. We learn from here as well that even though Rabbi Gamliel was benefiting from it, since the guy primarily did it for himself, even though he may have had the Rabbi Gamliel in line, but since it was primarily for himself, therefore one would be able to benefit from this. So there are a number of things to speak about just on this Mishnah before going weiter. But one is the Ritva asks an interesting question. This middle case we had when the last case where he built the ramp. So okay, he built the ramp, he did it for himself. But isn't there still a problem of muksa? That which is muksa, a piece of wood and nails and stuff, you can't use muksa on Shabbos, even though he built it for himself. It's still a violation of muksa. So the Ritva says muksa only applies to foods and applies to moving something. If I'm using something that's not food and I'm not moving it either, it's fine. So on the ramp, I'm not eating it and also I'm not moving it either. People think you can't touch your car in Shabbos. Touching a car is completely fine. It's not muksa. You can't move muksa. I could touch muksa. I can't move it. So going on a ramp is not moving muksa, nor is it eating muksa. And therefore, the Ritva says it's fine. I don't think it's considered moving enough. The Tosas Yantav says, no, it's actually a case where the boards were not muksa. They used items that were already smoothed out. They had a certain purpose. They weren't muksa. And that's what the situation, according to Tosas Yantav, is. Okay, fine. No, even if the materials are, you can't change. Something that has muksa, you can't remove its status from being muksa. No, if it was muksa before Shabbos, it remains muksa of Shabbos, no matter what he does with it, yeah. So Gemara then says, Vitzricha. So we have three scenarios in the Mishnah. Again, one is turning the candle on, one is drawing the water from Rishis Rabbim, number three is building a ramp. So Gemara says, why do you need all three cases? Aren't they all the same? That if the guy builds it for himself, it's fine. If he builds it for a Jew, it's not fine. So Tzrich, the Gemara says, you need all three cases, because the Iyashma Inan, if we only taught the case in Ner, Mishum Dener Le'echa Ner Le'meya, you need one candle for one candle for 100. There's no difference in what he's doing when he turns on the candle for me or for 100 people. So that's why one mice is enough for someone else to benefit from, as long as primarily it's done for himself. Of a Mayim, with regards to water, Ligs or Dilma Asi La'fushe Bishul Yisrael. Perhaps by water, if we allow you to benefit from the guy's schlepping of the water, so maybe he's going to next time bring more, or maybe this time bring more for the Jew. It's going to add more and do more carrying, and that maybe we should be gozer on. Or kevish, so that's why that case. And the kevish, lamli, why the case of the ramp? Maisa de Rabbi Gamliel, that's a kedem kamashal. I wanted to use that as a springboard to teach me the maisa of Rabbi Gamliel, that's all. Just to tell me halacha maisa, we accept such a practice. So the Gemara then says, Tanya Rabbanan, the Brisa teaches us that Nachwi Shalikit Asavim Meichel Achar of Yisrael. The goy collects some grass on Shabbos for his animal to eat, so Yisrael is allowed to eat afterwards. Vim Bishri Yisrael, if he does it, he picks the grass, plucks the grass for Yisrael, that would be Asr. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says Meichel Achar of Yisrael, it's around 10 narrow lines down. So after Esbehemto, after the goy feeds his animals, then whatever's left over, the Jew could feed his animals. The Achar says Rashi Dafka, Nakat. Bekulu denachi l'tzarch atmo avid. It can only be afterwards, meaning only after the guy has completed feeding the animals, then you can. But let's say he first plucks it, and he's still busy feeding his animals. You can bring your animals, start feeding the grass at the same time. It's only when it's completely done. Why is that? Why is Rashi Dafka only achar, only after he's completed it? So the way the Taz says is because let's say he picked out a certain amount of grass, and then now the Jew brings his behemoth to eat some of the grass. Now, it was enough for the goy's grass, the goy's animals. Now the goy might have to pick more grass for his own animal. You might be causing him to do malacha. Only after it's complete and the goy is ready to move on, only at that point is the Jew allowed to bring his animals on. But while the animal of the goy is still eating, says the Taz would be aser, lest it lead to more plucking of the grass. The Tosas Chadashim explains differently. He says the concern is that if you're starting to use the grass while the goy is using it as well, it gives the appearance as if the goy did this specifically for you. Even though you and I know he didn't do it for me, he did it for himself, but if the goy is still there and I'm using it at the same time, it just gives that Maris Ayin, that impression, that he did it for me, and therefore say, wait, just wait a second, wait for the goy to move on, he's out of the picture, and then you can go ahead, and whatever's left over, you could use for your animals. Says the Gemara further now, so continuing this price up. So we have, Mile Mayim L'Hashkos Behemto. Let's say the guy schleps some water from Rishis Rabbim to give his animals to drink. Mashka Achar of Yisrael, here as well, when he's completed feeding his animals, then you could use it to feed your animals. Vim Bishvil Yisrael, if he brought the water for Yisrael's animal, then it would be awesome. Bamed Dvar Mamur, when is it all true? Shein Makiru, only if he doesn't recognize you at all, so then it's fine. Aval makiro, if the goy recognizes you, he knows you, he's a neighbor, you're an employer, an employee, whatever the relationship is, usher, it would be usher, because then we assume even though he says he does it for himself, since he's makir you, he may also be doing it for you, and therefore it would be problematic, says the Gemara. So the Gemara says, v'hamar rev huna amar rebi chanina, ma'amid adam behemta agave asavim b'shabbos. A person's allowed to place the animal on grass on Shabbos to graze the field. And we're not concerned that you as the shepherd or the farmer might pluck the grass. Just put him on, let him grow the grass. Do whatever the animal wants. Avalo agave muksa b'shabbos. But not have a muksa on Shabbos, says Rashi. Ve'enu ma'amida agave muksa, Rashi explains. Shema yitol b'yadov yachem. Perhaps any of the muksa items you might end up picking up and giving to your animal. So the question becomes here, how come after the goy had plucked the grass for his own animal, and says when he leaves, so you can bring your animal and eat the rest of the grass that's been already picked out of the ground. But the Gemara says here that you're only allowed to put your animal on grass that's mechubar lekarka, and let the animal does what it wants. But if it's on something that's muksa, that was plucked on Shabbos, that would be problematic because that's muksa. So how come this braisa says you cannot serve muksa to your animal because you might end up carrying the muksa, but by the case of the goy, the situation is where you are allowed to bring your animal on top of the grass that he plucked out. Isn't that also muksa? Wasn't that grass already mechubar lekarka before Shabbos begun? So isn't that a problem of muksa? So how do you stem the two together? So the Gemara answers, dekoyim le'bapeh v'ozlehi v'achla. So what happened is you stand in front of the animal. Rashi says, "Dekarm le'abape shelo tifne l'makom acher." You stand in front of the animal, you block it; it doesn't turn anywhere else. Ve'ozlav achle, and it goes and eats. Aval hu eino omid al ha'savim. You don't bring the animal on top of the grass. Karv lehem dinichosh shema yitav yachil. All you simply do is you avoid the animal from going elsewhere. You don't lead the animal onto the muksa. Leading the animal onto the muksa is a problem, because then if you lead it onto the animal onto the muksa, you might pick up the muksa and give it to the animal. Here, you're just blocking it from going elsewhere, and mimele, the animal is stuck in a place where there is muksa available. That's a different one. One's a more active way of leading it to the muksa, and one is a passive of not letting it leave the area of where there's muksa. That's the distinction the Gemara draws. Okay, not so relevant for you and I who don't have animals grazing in the field, but that's the distinction the Gemara makes. So Gemara now says further, Amar Mar, we just said above, Bamed Bamamurum, when is this true? Shein makiru, only if the guard doesn't recognize the yid. So then, after he's done feeding his animal, you could have the leftovers for your animal. Ava makiru also. But if he recognizes you, then it's aser. So the Gemara says, now in light of that, the distinction of ein makiru versus makiru, ha, Rabbi Gamliel, makiru hava. But didn't the guard recognize Rabbi Gamliel? Didn't everyone know Rabbi Gamliel? He was like the Nasi. He was well known. He was very famous. He was the big Nasi of Klaiso. So how was he? He knew he was on the boat, seemingly. So when he put the ramp down, Mimele, he had in mind Rebbe Gamliel as well. Isn't that considered Makira and would be usher for Rebbe Gamliel to descend on that ramp? And the Gemara says, no. Amar Abaye, shelo b'fanav hava. It was not in front of him. Either he didn't know it was a boat or he just was not present at the time. And since it was just shelo b'fanav, so therefore it was not for the kavana of Rebbe Gamliel, and therefore it was done for himself only, for the guy, and therefore Rebbe Gamliel was able to benefit from the ramp. Alternatively, Rav Amar, afil tema b'fanav, even if you say it was made for Rebbe Gamliel, it was part of the kavana, still, ner le'echad, ner le'meya. One candle is good for one. That same candle is usable by 100. Ramp is good for one person. Ramp is good for 100 people. So even though he may have had in mind Rebbe Gamliel as well, since primarily he had himself in mind, then therefore it would be considered ladaite of the goy and would be permitted to be benefited by Rebbe Gamliel. So ask the Gemara, Meisive. Amel hem Rebbe Gamliel hol v'shul b'faneinu aso ne'rit bo. The Gemara, the Bryce has a comment on this story that we don't have in the Mishnah, that why did Rebbe Gamliel say you're allowed to use the ramp? So he said, because since it was not done in front of us, let's go down. This certainly supports the answer, the explanation of Abaye, that was shlo b'fanav. But this does not help. Ravo says that no, if it was b'fanav, it would even be also even b'fanav. Rebbe Gamliel's whole justification was because shlo b'fanenu. So Ema, Rava tweaks the Bryce and says, Ema, hol v'aso neribo. It should take out the words shlo b'fanenu. It should say, since he made it, we could go down, because he made it for himself. So that's how Rava wiggles out of this Bryce. Tashma, another Bryce. Ir she Yisrael v'nachim dar b'sochi, this city, where both Jews and non-Jews living together, side by side. V'hayisa ba merchetz hamarchetzes b'shabbos. You have a bathhouse that's used on Shabbos. So now, forgetting the gzeira of taking a bath on Shabbos, that's a Gemara in early in the Masechta, forgetting that issue, our concern here is simply whether one's allowed to benefit from water that's been heated up on Shabbos by a goy. So assuming, again, one can bathe on Shabbos. So they, now the bathhouse has been heated up, the water has been heated up on Shabbos by goyim. Imrov Nachrim, if most of the city is made up of Goyim, so Motelir Chosba, you're allowed to Miyad, you can immediately use it, you can't do it on Shabbos, actually, Rashi says that's be Motel Shabbos. Normally the din is that when you Melach is done by a Jew, and according to many, even by a non-Jew, you can only benefit what's called Kadesh Yasu. So let's say it takes 30 minutes for the water to warm up. So if a Goy, let's say, made the water hot for me, a Jew, so I cannot benefit from the hot water until 30 minutes after Shabbos. 30 minutes is the time it takes to get from cold water to hot water, let's say. So I need to wait the 30 minutes. It's Knas after Shabbos. That would not be considered benefiting from the Melacha of a Goy. So if most of the city is made up of Nachrim, so then the moment Shabbos ends, I could go to the base Hamirchatz. There's no Gzer because it wasn't done for me. It was done for the Rov. However, says the Braisa, Im Rov Yisrael, if most of the city is made up of Jews, then I need to Yamtin B'chadesh Yechamu Chamin. I need to wait the amount of time it takes to heat up hot water, so I don't benefit from the melacha on Shabbos itself. So that might be 30 minutes. I need to wait 30 minutes. So what's the question here? So why, even if it's Rov Yisrael, the Nachum certainly had in mind the Goyim who warmed up the hot water also had in mind the Goyim of the city. So why do we say it's Aser? It certainly had in mind the Goyim as well. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hasam ki mechame adayte deruba mechame. When they warm up whatever the water is, the hot water, they warm up whoever the majority is. They don't have in mind the individuals. They're doing it for the majority of the city. And therefore, since the majority of the city in this scenario is Jews, it would be awesome. Just look at Rashi. Rashi says five narrow lines up. Adaita deruba mechame. They do it based on whoever the majority is. Ve'ikar chil ha-shabbos b'shvilam. And therefore, the chil Shabbos is defined by doing it for the Jews. Aval nachri v'yisrael denachri adaita. If it's one Jew and one non-Jew, a one-to-one, then Nachri Adaita the Nafshe who David. He does it for himself. Shari La Bayish Labafanov. Abai allows it as long as the Jew is not present. And the Rabbah Afil Bafanov, and the Rabbah says even if the Jew is present, it would be permitted because he's doing it for himself. But once there's a multitude of people we're talking about here, then it goes based on whatever the majority is, that's going to dictate what the Kavana of the Nachri is. Gemara says last four lines of the page here that Tashma Ner Shehidlik Bimis. Yeah. Yeah, same concept. So kevesh leechad, kevesh lemea. So Gemara now says, Tashma, ner shehidlik b'misiba, if a candle is lit at a certain party on Shabbos. So it depends who's at this party. Im rov nachrim mutter, if most of them are nachrim, so we assume whatever the guy does, it's for the majority, so it'll be permitted to benefit from the candle. Mutter l'shamish l'ora. Vim rov yisrael, if most of the attendees are Jews, then aser, one would be prohibited from benefiting because the rov is Yisrael, it would be aser. However, mechsa mechsa, if it's 50-50, aser, it would be prohibited if it's 50-50. So what's the shaila here? So, right, so the Gemara says, just look at Rashi, the last Rashi for a second. Rashi says, im rov yisrael aser, v'ha hacha dehavi dumya demakiro, hol v'ruba ninu, since most of them are Jews, it's considered like makiro. They had a mind to light for them, and we see that it's aser. So, as Ricky just said, if it's ner lecha, ner lemeya, as long as there's some nachim that are there, it should be permitted regardless of the majority. So the Gemara says, hasam nami kimalik there when they light it, adaita, going on to Amr Beis now, adaita deruba malik also, they light it on the das of the rov, and the das of the rov here in this case is Jews. Rashi says on the top of Amr Beis here, adaita deruba hilkach yisrael ikr. Umechsa, so that, therefore, since most of them are Jews, it's doing it for the Kavanah of the Yisrael, and therefore Aser. Says Rashi further, Umechsa, mechsa, nami leka lameka mala, demilsa, diklamemer, ikadaita de malik bishul Yisrael, diklamemer, ikadaita de malik bishul Nachri. If it's 50-50, there's no way to know what his Kavanah was. About Nachri v Yisrael, if it's a one-to-one, one Jew, one non-Jew, by Malik Atmo, Mishamish Oron, the non-Jew uses it for himself, Vaday Ikadaita Diday Avid. Certainly for himself, it's for number first and foremost. But when it's 50%, 50%, where it's number of Jews, number of non-Jews, it's hard to know what his Kavana was, and therefore it's Aser when Mechza al Mechza. Let's finish off the parak. Now the Gemara says that one time Shmuel, Ikle Lebe Avin Torin. One time he visited the house of this individual, his name was Abin Torin. Asa Hunachri Alek shrag, a guy came in, turned the light on. That's important to know in terms of turning the light on, by the way, that you have to define what's considered hana from light. If we're, let's say, sitting in this room right now, you know, sometimes you come in the morning, the lights aren't fully on. There's a few lights on, it's a little dim. We could still read here. And let's say a guy were to come and turn the light on so we could now read clearly. So that's not considered hana, because as long as you could still do, you could have done the whatever you're doing, the got hana, before the maisa, that's not considered hana. In other words, I could have read with the lights dim. They just made it easier for turning them on. That's not called hana. If it's pitch black in here and I couldn't read, and then you turn the light on, that would be considered hana. So it has to be where the hana is allowing me to do something new that I couldn't have done beforehand. So here again, the case was that a guy came in, turned on the light, turned on a candle. Ahadrinu Shmuel la'apei. Shmuel turned his face around as not to benefit from the candle. Came in the chazi, the icy star, but then he saw that the guy brought a document to read of a kakari light. He realized, Amar da'ita d'nafshi, who da'al, he was lighting it for himself so that he could read, and therefore he was able to benefit from it. The Prima Gadma says this is only true if the goy were to bring the and benefit from it immediately. The goy turns it on, and 45 minutes later starts reading from it. That does not indicate he did this for himself primarily. It has to be within moments of doing the malacha. There's a machlokas in the Yushalmi, how to read the Yushalmi. Here Shmuel says, if the goy turned on the light, you can't get enough. Does that mean if I'm in my house, in my room, and he turns on the light, I need to leave the room? So Rishonim argue this, whether or not, if they turn on the light, whether you are forced to leave your room and house or not. Shmuel clearly did. Unclear whether this was Mikar Din or this was a Chumrah, but they argue about how to interpret a Yushalmi, what the conclusion is. Either way, wherever the person is, you have to leave. If it's your house, someone else's house, there's a requirement to leave when a person turns on the candle. So Gemara then says, Ahadrinu inihu lape gavishaga, and then after Shmuel had realized that the goy did this for himself, he lit the candle so that he could read, he turned back, was able to benefit from the candle. Hadrin lach kol kisrei. Okay.
So I just want to know that when I used to work for the Bible years ago, so Dunkin' Donuts is open, it's owned by the goy, so it's open 24 hours. So Motzei Shabbos,
no, let's go by that. Yeah, tell me afterwards. Yeah, let's go. Keep moving. So Mishnah, the new parak says, the Mishnah says as follows. Ka kalim, all the kalim are nitlim b'shabbos. So all kalim can be used in Shabbos as long as it's a kli, it's not called muksa. So the Gemara now says that, again, called kalim nitlim b'shabbos, it says that v'dal sosayim imam, even the doors of them can be taken as well. They're, even if the doors have been detached, they're not considered muksa. Ava pishin is park, even though they've been detached, you could still use them. They're called kalim. They're part of the kalim. They may be used. And we'll see at what point do they become detached. However, shenim domim ledalos habayis, they're not similar to doors that are in a house. Lefi shenim minamucham. I mean, a door in a house that falls off, that's not called a kli. That's mechubar lekarka. So a door that falls out off a house, that's called, that's muksa. But a door that falls out off a kli, that would not be considered a muksa, and one may use them on Shabbos. Just look at Rashi for a second. Rashi says, "Vafa pishin is parku hadlasas minakalim nitlin." Even though the doors may have fell off, I don't know, a cabinet might be attached. But let's say, you have a small little dresser that's movable, and the door drawer falls out. That's not muksa. V'ein domin says Rashi ledlasas habayis shen nitlin. Not comparable to a door of a house that falls off. The feature delosos habayis einam minamuchan letaltel shenam kli. You don't move doors around from a house, so that's not a kli. Aval eluhein kli agave aveyim. That when if I have a little a little dresser that I can move around, so I can move it. When I move it, I also move the door. Now normally the door is attached to it, but I still move the whole item together. So even though the door has been detached from this little dresser I could pick up, still, that's considered a kli because it comes as part of the father, which is the dresser itself, and therefore these detached doors are not muksa and may be moved on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah says. Then the Mishnah continues. We're getting to the world of muksa and kol kisvei. The world of muksa is a very hard. We touched on a little bit in the beginning of the Masechta, but it is a very challenging topic because there are many different details and categories. But we'll hopefully learn through this slowly. So that's the first half of the Mishnah. Second half of the Mishnah is note to all the mekurnas. A person could take a hammer, lifatzeh bo esagozim. He could use it in order to break open walnuts or any nuts. There's a concept in muksa called there's a kli shel machta leheter. A kli shel machta leheter is a kli that's primarily used for heter. A fork, a knife, a spoon. These are primarily used for things that are mutter. There's another category called kli she melachto le'isr. It's a kli, it's a utensil, but its main purpose is for something usr, like a hammer. The hammer is a kli, it's a purpose to it, but its main purpose is for isr, to hammer nails. But even a kli she melachto le'isr can be moved and used le'tzorach gufo or le'tzorach mekomo. What's that? So a gufo is to use it for itself, meaning a hammer, which is this case in the Mishnah, to open up a knot, that's le gufo, using it for a heter purpose. Le tzach makomo is if I need a place where it is. Let's say it's on my chair, I need to sit on the chair, I can move that hammer, it's a kli, shemlach le iser, but le tzach makomo, I can move it to make that place available. There's yet another category, which is called a muksa machmas gufo, where it's an inherently usher, where it's not even a kli, a rock, a piece of a branch, these are not even kalim, they're nothing. Those are much worse. You can't move those if it's in my place, l'tzorach gufo, l'tzorach makomo. Those are three basic areas. Again, it has to first be a kli, and then we define, is the kli she melachto l'heter or a kli she melachto l'iser. But a muksa machmas gufo is inherently, intrinsically, muksa, has no purpose, not even kli, and nothing to even talk about. There's certainly other types as well, which we'll see, muksa machmas chesun kis, a person's concerned that either the value of it, or he is concerned not to use it for something else. We'll get to those categories. But right now, the focus is, this is a kli, hammer, a kli, shemlachto le'isr, yet you're using it for davar heter, which is, for this case, opening up egozim. Another example, a kardom. A kardom is an axe. Lachtoch bo es hadvela. You want to use the axe in order to cut open these fig cakes. An axe is primarily a kli shemlachto l'iser. You use it to cut down trees on Shabbos. That's aser. But to use it for the food purposes, that's kli shemlachto l'iser, which is being used l'tzarach gufo for itself for a heta purpose. Another example, the Mishnah says megera is a type of saw. A megera can be used log or bo sagvina. You have cheese, a block of cheese. You want to slice them up. They didn't have sliced cheese like we have. You have to cut them off and shave them down. You could use a saw that's a kli she melachto l'iser, l'tzarach gufo again. Magrefa is some type of spoon, is ligrof bus a grogros, a spoon that I don't know what it normally was used for, but something that's kli she melachto l'iser. Rashi says here, Rashi in Erechin, is used to really scoop up coals, so it's davar iser. It's a kli she melachto l'iser. You may use it ligrof bus a grogros in order to scoop up some dried figs. It's a rachas, another example, it's some type of board. It was meant to be used for winnowing wheat. Maybe you put it on the bottom of it, probably, and you throw up the wheat, and the air would come and send away the chaff, and the seed, the kernels would fall down on this board, I assume. That board's a kli shemlachto l'iser, but you could use it for davar heter, vesa malgez, which is some type of a pitchfork of some sort, lases alem laktan, to use it to kind of feed the animals or feed whoever with some type of laktan is gathered food. Esakush is another example. It was something used in the weaver. The woman would use it to spin things, I think, rather. Besakarkar, something else as part of the weaving lichtov bow in order to put soften some fruits. Machat shayad, if you have a little needle, you could use it litol basakot to take something out of a thorn that might be stuck or a splinter in the skin. And shel sakaim, if you have a larger type of needle, which is used for sewing bags, liftach basadels, in order to open up to pick a lock or something, open up a door that's been shut. So these are a number of examples of kalim that are be'ikr muksa, they're kli shelamach tel iser, but these are various examples whereby you could use it, l'tzach gufo, for a davar heter. That's the Mishnah. Okay. So Gemara now says, kol ha'kalim nitlin, all kalim may be taken, may be moved, v'yafa pishinis parku b'shabbos. Right now we're learning b'shabbos, even though they became detached on Shabbos itself, you could still move them. Gemara says, ulomi b'ay b'chol, needless to say, if it was moved b'chol. So it was removed on Shabbos, fine, but in chol, certainly if they were detached in chol, would certainly be allowed. So Gemara says, the opposite is true. It's actually better if it fell off on Shabbos than on chol. Adaba, b'Shabbos muchanim. On Shabbos it'd be better. Why is it better on Shabbos? Because the definition of muksa always goes based on banish mashals. So banish mashals, my drawer was attached, the cabinet, the door was attached to the dresser, and Shabbos began. That means I was able to use it, open the door. The door was a muksa. It fell off on Shabbos, that's a new, now it's detached, but we go based on what happened in the beginning of Shabbos, the initial part of Shabbos. So adaraba, but Shabbos, if it fell off on Shabbos, that's actually better because they were already muchanim mi ben hashmashos, agabi avbiyam, the fact that it was connected, attached to the dresser. B'chol, however, if it fell off during the chol, already before Shabbos, ain muchanim, they're already doors that are on the floor, they have no purpose, they're muksa, agabi avbiyam. So the Gemara says no. Amar Bai says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means to say. Kola Kalim, Nitlim, B'Shabbos, all Kalim may be moved on Shabbos, Vidal so same imahim and their doors as well. And afa pishin is parku bechol, even though they were removed on the weekday on Erev Shabbos, nonetheless still nitlim b'Shabbos, they are still considered part of the keli and may be used on Shabbos, even though again when Shabbos has begun, it was not attached to it, but still is considered part an extension of the kli itself and may be moved on Shabbos. No, the kelim are not muksa. Yeah, no, I don't. Yeah, yeah, the kelim.
You could have just said called that dalte hakelim shenaflu. Like it's an interesting way to put it.
No, I think you're teaching that the dlasim are considered an extension of the kelim themselves. That's the svara for it. I think, yeah. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan delas shel shida v'shel teva v'shel migdal. If you have a door of different types of, I don't know, an armor, a dresser, a tower, certain things that are considered kelim. Then a tower migdal sounds like a big tower, but it doesn't mean a big tower. These are things that are kelim. So the Baruch says you have a door of any of these types of kelim, nolan, they may be moved on Shabbos. But although you could, nolan here means rather you could take off the doors, you take them off, you cannot reattach the doors. So it sounds like it's a question of binyan v'stira by kelim. We'll see that in just a second. So stira, you could remove, you could destroy the door if you will, but you can't build it, you can't return it. If it's shalul shaltarna golem, if you have this chicken coop, you're putting a door on, which is attached to the ground, however, it's already stationed to the ground. It's mechubar, lo nolin, lo machzin. You cannot remove the door, nor can you return. You can't put it back on. So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand, shalul shaltarna golem, this lul of the chickens, kaven kasavar, kaven nimechabri ba'ara, since it's attached to the ground, you can't remove or put back the door on because yesh binin the lakarka, yesh tir bakarka. That's mamish binin stir midaraisa. Putting on a door to a house is like putting a door on Lul Shatanago. It's also both to remove both Nolan and Machzir. However, Elaf, Shel Shida, Vishel Teva, Vishel Migdal, these are Kalim, these are Metaltalim. My Kazar, what is the opinion of the Gemara? E Kazar, there's Machlokas in general, whether Yesh Bidin Vistir Bekalim or Ein Bidin Vistir Bekalim. It's very relevant to Lacha, whether you can build things on Shabbos, whether you can't build things on Shabbos that are Kalim. So we normally assume that yesh bidin v'stir b'kelim, it's aser. It's important to know that when it comes to building kelim, the three different categories of building little objects, small objects, metaltim. The first one is what's called tokeya. Tokeya is when you fasten something, you cement something, you glue something. That's an itzah deraisa, that's chayiv. A person, you know, builds something with cement. He builds a glue. Those little model cars, growing up I had model cars, and you glue them together, glue. That's an itzah deraisa. It's a bidin v'stir b'kelim. If it comes to putting something that's mehadik, it's called, tightly, but it's not fastened, like Lego would not be deraisa. You don't glue it together, but they stick tight with each other. It's mehudak, that's an iser midirabanan. And then there's a third category, which is rafa, which is very loosely connected. If you're familiar with the different kids' toys, there's something called like magnetiles. You kind of build them up, they stay with magnets, but you just knock them over. That's rafa, that's completely permitted. So that middle area, that which is mehadik, which is tight, so it's unclear whether how Lego fits into that category. Some say Lego is mehadik, it's considered tight. Others say no, it's that's normal tashmisho. You put it, you build it, you take it apart, you build it, take it apart, like opening and closing a door, putting together Lego. So there are a number of heterim why Lego would be allowed, but that's the general idea of a binyan v'stir b'kelim. So in general, however, there's a machlokas whether it's even shayach. Some say yesh binyan v'stir b'kelim. Others say ain binyan v'stir b'kelim. So what's the understanding of the Gemara here? That the Gemara says you can remove the delos of a shida teva migdal, but you can't be machzirin. You can't put it back. So the Gemara says, e kasavar, if they hold yesh binyan v'kelim, the yesh tir b'kelim. So if you hold that you could build, there's an isser building and there's an isser of destroying. So then it should be usher to even remove the door in the first place. The steer should be usher, just like you can't put back the door. If the E ain't steer bekalim, then ain't binim bekalim. If there's no problem of steer, which means you can remove the door, so you should also be able to bin it. You should be able to put the door back. So how can it say you can remove the door, meaning there's no problem of steer, but there is a problem of binim? They go hand in hand. You took off the hinge of some sort. The Gemara then says, Amar, bye, he says, Liolim, really, in reality, Kasavar, Yesh binim v'kelim v'yesh stir b'kelim. There is a problem of building, there is a problem of destroying. However, Shenitla Kamar is talking about, not that you took it off, that Nolan, rather Shenitlan, it was taken off, that's a problem. If it was removed, you cannot put it back on. It's teaching us that Yesh binim v'kelim, you can't build it, which would also teach Mimela you can't remove it. It's only if it was removed, it fell off, some kid took it off, someone else took it off. That's what it's talking about. So it is consistent. So Amar Le Rava, Rava says, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. I've got two questions on this pshat. Chada, number one, is it says nitlin katani. It says nitlin. It doesn't say she nitlu. It says nitlin nitani. You should do it. Lichachila is talking about taking them off. Now, by the way, it's in general discussion. Interesting that Rav and Abaye, you like to find these themes sometimes and what their approach was to learning and analysis. So Abaye was more into preserving the svara and is more interested. He was more lax in terms of reinterpreting the text. Rav, on the other hand, was more firm on keeping the text as is. It wasn't so into the interpretation of it. So although what Abai said made logical sense, it made a lot of sense, still Rav says in the end of the day, the text says nitalin, doesn't say shenitlu. So that was its first question. Chada nitalin katani. Oh, number two, my avalo machzirin. Why does it say, but you can't put it back? Doesn't that sound like you can't put it back, but you can take it off? That contrast sounds like we're talking about nitalin, not just simply shenitlu. And so those are the two questions Rava asks. And therefore, Rava himself gives a different interpretation. Ela Amar Rava. Rava says, Kesavar, Ein Binyan Mekalim, V'Ein Sir Bekalim. There is no problem of building and destroying Kalim. However, Gezeira Shema Yitaka. But they said you shouldn't do it anyways to put it back, because lest you come to Yitaka to fasten it tightly. So when it comes to Sir removing Kalim, there's not a problem. But to build Kalim, although fundamentally it's fine, but the concern if you start building it, you might come to be tokei, you might come to fasten and glue it, and therefore it would be aser. So this is very important, Lach Lamaisa, because the Chazanish says, this category, which I told you, which is called mehudak, tight, tokei is chiv deraisa, roughway is mutter, mahadik is tightly but not fastened, it's aser. Why is mahadik aser? Because the Gemara says, Shema yitka, you might come to fasten it, you might come to glue it and screw it together. So Chazanish says, if you have a situation of binyan of kalim of mehudak that is impossible, or maybe the nature is not to ever fasten it, therefore it would be allowed in those cases. So for example, no one ever fastens Lego. You don't glue Lego, you don't screw Lego. So, what? Most people don't. It's not common to do it, to be tokeya Lego. And therefore, in that case, Chazanish says, since Shema Yitaka is not shayach, it's lo matzo, it's not common for a person to tokeya, anything that's mehudak without the real possibility of it being tokeya would not be a problem of a binyan bekalim. That's important. Puzzle would be another example. Puzzles also, some people will glue them together. That's more common, I believe, gluing together puzzles. Not everyone does that, but you have a big, 5,000 piece puzzle. Afterwards, you glue it together. So that would be considered building binyan bekalim. It's tightly, and for the most part, pretty tight. And then some would glue it together. That, for the Chazanish, I would imagine, would be a problem. No, that's not binyan. You haven't created anything new. You're detaching it.
And I'm putting it back, he's screwing it back, or just putting it back like...
Putting it back in, you're probably putting it back in tightly, and then there might be an issue of screwing it together as well. Okay, let's go a little bit further now. The Gemara says, no to all them kurnas, a person could take, a hammer or a saw or an axe, different things to use on Shabbos for a davar heter. So Amar Rav Yehuda says, kurnas shel agozim, if you have a hammer, you could use it, rather a hammer that's been designated, that's miyuchad for agozim. Only that type of hammer that was specifically used for opening up nuts, lefatzeh bos agozim. You could use that hammer to open up nuts. Aval shel napkin, if you're using a hammer that's used by a blacksmith, let's say, so that would be low, one cannot use it. So this Gemara right now understands that a kli shel machtel iser may not be used letzarach gufo, only if it was designated for nuts in the first place. As the Gemara says, kesavar, davar shel machtel le'iser, afilu letzarach gufo aser. That which is item that's main uses for iser may not be used legufo. That's what the Gemara says. So Amar Lei Rava, Rava says, el miyata, if that's the case, look at the seif of the Mishnah. Meaning we just made an akimta of the Mishnah. What type of hammer may be used for the nuts? Only a hammer that's specifically made for nuts. So Gemara says, El Miata, if that's the case, the Sefer says, the Katani Veserachas, which is some type of board, Vesamalgate, some type of pitchfork, Lasseh Salav Lakhtan, you could use them for Lakhtan, some type of food that's been gathered together. Rachas Umalgate, Mim Yachtile Lakhtan. Do these items ever be designated for these for Lakhtan? Never. They're using it, it's certainly used for winnowing or used for whatever else they use it for, but not for this Davar Heter. So clearly the Mishnah allows you to take a kli shematul iser for the tzarek gufo. So Ella Amaraba, really we're talking about a case kurnos shenapachin, you can use lifatzeya esagozim, because he holds kasavar that davar shematul iser litzarech gufo is mutter. And that's how we conclude, and we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.